What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Not that Mackey's back in town.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 3 hours, like I normally do, all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. We got Fliegelman on the other side. And again, taking your calls here on The Fan. A lot going on. We'll get to the Hall of Fame. We'll get to the Knicks. And a slim, too close victory over the Brooklyn Nets. But let's start with the New York Jets. As I literally couldn't get out of the city yesterday. The show ended. I'm in my car. I'm not even at the Lincoln Tunnel yet. And Fliegelman texted me the report that Aaron Glenn is coming in to meet with the Jets. And the hope is he doesn't leave the building. And that he is going to be expected to work out a contract. Deal not done. And that's still kind of where we are. They left the building, him and the prospective new GM, Lance Newmark. And while they did leave the building, and we may be talking about this for another day or two, it feels like they are going to hire, the New York Jets will be hiring, Aaron Glenn and Lance Newmark as their new head coach and GM. And I got to tell you, it's the same thing we've been talking about. And, you know, sometimes I hate to join in the choir, but I've been saying this for a while. I didn't want a first-time head coach with the New York Jets. I find it a very particular situation with an owner that's almost impossible to work with, a team that's embroiled with enough stupidity and stories and nothing that works, and a playoff drought hanging above the organization like a black cloud. And we've seen these exact same kind of candidates, these young, particularly defensive coordinators who get their first opportunity with the New York Jets and fail. And I wanted someone, a stabilizing force. I don't understand why Mike McCarthy's not brought in to be talked to. I don't understand Pete Carroll. Apparently there's rumors now that he was, you know, let the Jets know he was not inclined to take the job. So, okay, but still, I felt like someone needed to come in here with experience at the head coaching position. And if not, then you go the trend of the NFL and you get an offensive mind. And if you look at the successful coaches, the successful Super Bowl champions, this side of Tomlin and Belichick over the last, 20 years, mix in 1 year of Pete Carroll, it is offensive coaches who win in this NFL. And I've talked about this a lot, not specifically always about Aaron Glenn. And I think Aaron Glenn on his own has done everything you could possibly want to do to be a candidate for head coaching job. He's worked his way up through the bottom, former NFL player, worked his way up through quality control coach and scout, all the way to defensive coordinator for the one seed in the NFC. So it's not like he's unworthy, but the fact of the matter is, he's a defensive mind. I heard the clip that Keith played for you. Other than a couple of defensive coaches who you knew Rex Ryan was working on the defensive side of the ball, and clearly we're going to get into his candidates for offensive and defensive coordinators to bring in and everything else. But, like, we understand what the limitation, and let's be totally honest, I know it's not about him, right? It's not about him necessarily. It's about the situation. And I hate to say it, it is about being a first-time head coach. It is about being a defensive coordinator. And I heard something today that Evan said, and I've heard people who have a problem with this line of thinking saying, well, and I heard Evan particularly, well, give me more. If you have a problem with Glenn being the hire of the New York Jets, you got to give me more than just he's a defensive mind and he's a rookie candidate and he's never been a head coach before. Well, I'll say, okay, I think those are two perfectly good reasons, considering they investigated every single person under the sun and had 18 different head coach candidates and 100 different GM candidates. But if that's not enough, fine. Let me ask you something. For those of you who are excited about this, what exactly inspires you about this hire? Because while he's fine, he's suited, he's qualified, what inspires you? What makes him the guy out of all the guys? Because I got to be totally honest, other than him being a New York Jet, I really don't know what makes him the perfect fit for this job. Because we talk about some of the other candidates and other head coaches of the New York Jets who've been defensive coordinators. Rex Ryan was a dominant defensive coordinator for a dominant defensive team. Todd Bowles was a dominant defensive coordinator for a very good defensive team. Even Robert Saleh, dominant San Francisco 49ers defense for many years. Let's be fair, Aaron Glenn had a good year this year, and then the defense fell apart on him. We were all ready to proclaim what a great job he did after the Minnesota game, but nobody wants to give him any flack for the 12 men on the field, the 4th-and-2 play, and everything else that went with the loss against the Washington Commanders, and that's fine. We don't have to blame him. But, I mean, his tenure as the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, I mean, it's not exactly like the Detroit Lions have had a great defense. In fact, this is the first year they've had a good one. In 2021, his first year, and I understand the level of play, second most points in the league. His next year, the 4th most points in the league. 2023, the 10th most points in the league. So there's a progression of getting better leading up until this year. Fine. But he has not been a dominant defensive coordinator. What exactly inspires you? And here's my main question. Because it's not just the head coach, it's the GM. And it's the future of this franchise. And I'm sorry, I don't know how else to see it. But they want Glenn, and they're picking a GM who worked with them in Detroit, in Lance Newmark. This is the head coach that they want, and then the GM that either he would want or he's worked with. And I do like that aspect that there is a connection between the two. And if you're going to hire the head coach, it might as well, before you hire the GM, I like to have a connection. But what exactly, if you're going to tell me that this is the guy, and that I should come up with a more nuanced argument than, hey, I'm looking for a defensive mind or I'm looking for a more established head coach than a rookie head coach. If that's not enough of an argument to say, I don't love this hire. Well, what is so inspiring and great? And I'm not trying to knock him necessarily. I think he's done a fine job. And like I just told you, although he hasn't been a dominant defensive coordinator, you've seen progression as much as you've seen progression just with the Lions in general over the last couple of years. But if he's the, you're telling me that Aaron Glenn is the guy to hire before a GM and then be the one to kind of handpick the GM so that they work in tandem? What does a first-time defensive coordinator, he's never had multiple defensive coordinator spots. What about a one-time defensive coordinator who had really one good year of defense as a first-time head coach is the guy who you decide to hire and then pick the general manager to work with him? If you hire Vrabel, he gets to pick his GM. Okay, you hire Mike McCarthy, you want to pick a GM with him. You hire Pete Carroll. You hire Bill Belichick. You hire a big name. You trade for Mike Tomlin. Like, okay, those guys get to determine who's the man making the decisions in the front office and who's picking the players. That's fine. You're telling me that because I want Aaron Glenn to be the head coach. He gets to pick Lance Newmark, who's been with the Lions, who's just this previous year the Washington Commanders' assistant general manager, on a great year, obviously, as they're still playing. But he's been with the Lions since 1999. Up until the last 3 years, the Lions might be the least successful organization in the sport. And now you're bringing into this team a brand new general manager who's never been the guy before, with all his years of experience with one of the worst franchises in the sport, and Aaron Glenn, who's a first-time head coach. And that's who you're bringing in to take on this job in the biggest market in the country, with an owner who is one of the more difficult and most recently wrote up owners and dysfunctional owners, making decisions on his son's whims and Madden ratings. Firing a head coach midseason, hiring a GM midseason, and still lagging behind on the hiring process. And what they come up with is the same tried and true method that they have tried year after year after year, cycle after cycle after cycle, that has failed this organization. And then you get to his rumored, and again, this is all rumored. He hasn't even signed a contract yet. I could be talking about a different hire in 2 days, although it feels like this is going to happen. He's going to give you an offensive coordinator who, it better be good, because he could tell you all day that he knows offense as much as defense. And I've speculated this. I think we all have. I don't understand how, if you're a coach who tries to, you know, hinder and stop an offense, how you can't understand offense. I think we all understand that on some level. But either this year coming up, and we're going to get to Aaron Rodgers in a second, either this year coming up, you could be developing a young quarterback that the new, brand new, never GM before, making that first pick for this organization under all the circumstances that's going on with this team. You're going to either be developing a young quarterback or working with Aaron Rodgers or soon to be developing a young quarterback at some point. So the offensive mind better be somewhat significant. And I get Clint Kubiak, who I don't know, I don't think he's done a bad job necessarily, but you would say he's getting hired because his last name is Kubiak. And then the reports of Steve Wilks as the defensive coordinator, who's he's got head coaching experience. It didn't go so well for him in Arizona. And then he went and became the defensive coordinator in San Francisco. And everybody is going to be talking about how you fired a head coach who was uber successful in San Francisco and a GM who went there 2 years later and fell flat on his face doing it. He couldn't even accomplish the job that Robert Saleh accomplished as the GM of the San Francisco 49ers. And all of this might work. Glenn might be the guy. But are you trusting Woody Johnson to see so much in a first-time head coach? Woody Johnson to make the pick with the help of the 33rd team. That he is so on top of this. That he knows that Aaron Glenn is the right man for the job as a first-time head coach, coming off being a first-time defensive coordinator, allowing him to pick the hand-picked GM who worked for the worst organization in the sport for 30 years, and now he's bringing in a defensive coordinator who couldn't do the job the last failed head coach could do. Does that sound like the kind of thing that this organization should go and endeavor on? Like, is that really the best way for this group to move forward? It might all be right, but how much could you possibly have working against you? It sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot, and I'm just a dope yelling at you at 2:15 in the morning. What about all the beat writers? What about all the people who cover this team? They can make these same drawings. They can draw the same lines I'm drawing. A rookie head coach allowed to pick a rookie GM who worked for the worst organization one of the worst losing organizations in the sport for 30 years. He's allowed to handpick his guy just because you want continuity. And then you're going to hire a defensive coordinator who is a one-year failed head coach and a one-year failed defensive coordinator in the same spot your last head coach, who couldn't make it through week 5, was able to thrive in. It just feels like a lot as opposed to just hiring a coach who's been here before, who's gone through this, who's been an experienced head coach. And that's why for me, like, and the reports are that Glenn would want to keep Aaron Rodgers. I think you better. Do you really want to put a veteran quarterback, right? Or, you know, you're going to go draft a quarterback or take a shot in the second round with a young, inexperienced quarterback, a young, inexperienced head coach, with a playoff drought hanging over the organization? Break this thing down? Like, to me, if you are going to do this, you've got to give him a chance to win next year and get off on a fairly good start and give him Aaron Rodgers and give this GM not to, you know, find the quarterback with my first or second pick and my first time ever running a draft room. Which, by the way, I'm sure he's been doing his work, but he's been focusing on his team winning the Super Bowl while there's been bowl games and college football games being played, and they fired their GM midseason and have been unable to hire him and let them get a head start on, you know, getting ready for the draft. Like, for the Jets, none of this makes sense to me. None of it makes sense. It is a hell of a lot to hope on the shoulders of Aaron Glenn. And maybe he's the guy. Maybe he's just the right leader. Maybe he's perfect. We'll see. But this organization does not have the track record, and I do not trust this owner to make a decision on a head coach with all the ramifications that come with it. And particularly, I hate the idea that he's picking the GM. Now, maybe that's a bit of an overstatement, but quite clearly, it feels like they want Glenn, and this is the GM that either he wants or makes the most sense to go with Glenn. I don't know how you come up with any other reasoning behind it. I mean, no other GM got a second interview. And the reports were that Glenn was the guy before Newmark was. It just feels like the Jets are destined to make the same mistakes. So, yeah, I understand. And I've given you all the reasons behind the offensive mind. And I've given you all the reasons behind a first-year head coach. I mean, we've all done it. We've talked about it. Fine. I don't have to delve deep into all the different parameters of why I don't like it. But if you're going to tell me that's not enough, that's not a good enough reason, that you have to give me more on why you're down on this hire, I will return the question to you. What inspires you about this hire? He might be a great head coach. He certainly has the resume. I'm not trying to diminish him as a coaching candidate. I think he works great for the Saints. I think he works great for other organizations. What about this hire and this GM hire and the idea that they're doing it backwards? Like, again, Vrabel? You want to bring in Vrabel, the head coach, and allow him to pick the GM he feels he can work with? That makes sense to me. Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin, you know, one of these guys that, you know, have a resume and you want to let them pick the GM, fine. But if you're going to go backwards, is Aaron Glenn a worthy enough, or I shouldn't say worthy enough, that's probably the wrong word, but is Aaron Glenn a prestigious enough hire? Is he the guy who gets to pick that? Instead of going GM first and allowing your GM to hire the coach, which has been a tried and true method and a better way to go about this since football began? If you're going to tell me that the two reasons I have aren't enough, well, tell me why Aaron Glenn is the guy to buck the trend. What makes you feel like this is the guy to lead us out? And maybe he will be. He seems like a leader. I love hearing him talk. Keith played a clip. We've seen the clips from the Pivot podcast. He's a former, you know, he's a former Pro Bowl cornerback. He's been around the league. He is a viable head coaching candidate. I would never say different. And he might be the guy. But for the New York Jets and everything in that encompasses this New York Jet organization and everything that a rookie head coach will have to deal with. I heard Fliegelman talking to Keith. He's going to step right in to a situation of being questioned about losing that he's been no part of. He's going to have a playoff drought. He's going to have to answer these questions about, you know, it's not an easy spot to walk into. The stories of the owner. How do you work with Woody Johnson? You know, same thing for the GM. It's just, it's a shot. It's a hope he's the right guy. And they interviewed him the last time, the last process when they hired Robert Saleh. So I'm sure he's excellent in the meeting. He's a smart coach. He was a smart and talented player. And there's no reason to think he won't be a good head coach other than the weight of the Jets is different than the weight of the Saints or the weight of other organizations right now. This is why I want the Pete Carroll and the Mike McCarthy to kind of lighten that weight a little bit with a sustained winner and a proven program builder, someone who'll come in here and wipe the bad taste out of everybody's mouth so that the next hire of the Aaron Glenn or the Aaron Glenn type doesn't have to come in here talking about what a disaster the owner is in the 15-year playoff drought and how nothing goes right. They bring in a world-class Hall of Fame quarterback. Doesn't go right. Nothing goes right for this team. Why are you the guy? Those are the questions he has to answer day one. And I'm sure he's capable of it, and he'll give you good answers, but it's a weight around a rookie head coach and a rookie GM that make it very difficult to be successful, and we've seen it here. And we've seen it here with defensive coordinators who've had more success as defensive head coordinators. Not sure why I threw head coordinator in there, but it just happened. Roll with it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So, we'll find out if Glenn's the guy. We'll find out if Lance Newmark is the guy. It seems like the Jets want him. Maybe he wants to talk to the New Orleans Saints just out of respect because he was there as a coach. But if Aaron Glenn and Lance Newmark are the guys, it's hard for me to not think that it's more in line with what they've been doing and what's been unsuccessful, and it might be just as much their fault as Aaron Glenn and Lance Newmark. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll start with the Jets and their impending hire. We'll get to the Knicks and how they blew a 13-point lead to the Nets without Cam Thomas, but yet came back to win the game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thanks to Kat and the captain. We'll get to the Hall of Fame as we congratulate CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Wagner as they were elected into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk about Carlos Beltran and his inability to get into the Hall of Fame, although it feels like next year will be the year for him. But what's holding him back exactly, and why I think that's completely unfair.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:30 on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. And, you know, I mean, it's just, we've been talking about it for a while. So this is a, you know, a situation where I've been against the idea of a defensive head coach. I've been against the idea of a rookie head coach. So it's not Glenn necessarily. And listen, we've seen this before. Mike Tomlin was a defensive backs coach, wasn't even a coordinator hired by the Steelers, and he's become one of the great head coaches. It's not like he cannot succeed. And if he is hired, I'll be rooting for him. And I do think I think it absolutely leads to bringing back Rodgers. I would. I don't know how, you know, Glenn feels about it. I don't know how strongly Woody feels about it. I don't know if it's, you know, part and parcel with taking the job that Rodgers is gone, or if he's literally, like reported, going to let the GM and head coach decide on Rodgers' future. But to me, especially first time, like, I understand the headache that Rodgers brings, but the stability he would bring to the offense and the field. I know they didn't win, but he threw 28 touchdowns and threw 11 picks and threw for almost 4,000 yards. I mean, as opposed to whatever the options are. Tyrod Taylor and drafting a young quarterback or something along those lines. I hate that. I mean, I think you need Aaron Rodgers just to be a stabilizing force and just to be, you know, make it easier on a young defensive head coach. And yes, I still think Aaron Rodgers would make it easier. I think Aaron Rodgers can bring headaches, but I think on the field and in the locker room, I don't think it's an addition by subtraction. But, you know, the question of Super Bowls and how successful and whether or not he's going to be able to coach both the offense and the defense. He's a coach. We've talked about that before, right? You don't want guys too involved on one side of the ball or another. You need a head coach. That's why, you know, sometimes special teams coordinators are thought of as good head coaches, as long as you're a leader of men. And I have no doubt that Aaron Glenn has been a good leader of men. You don't get to where he's been. And I'm sure that comes through in talking with him in these interviews. But it's just a lot for the New York Jets. It's a lot to come in. And then, again, it's just, if you're going to hire a first-time head coach, why does he get to pick the offense? Why does he get to pick general manager? Like, we all know general manager, and then you hire a head coach. That's kind of been the staple of how things best function. Now, I understand the Jets were in desperate need of a head coach, and that's felt like more of a need, and we all would say that, you know, Douglas did a better job than Saleh. You could argue that, right? The drafts were better. The trades were better. The roster was pretty good, and the coaching is what's held it back. But that doesn't mean that the head coach necessarily, especially if you're going to hire a young first-time head coach that you hope is the guy for the next 15 years, and GM, that, you know, you hire the GM and then tell him, look, we like Glenn, or we like, you know, these three or four candidates. You could narrow it down for him. He doesn't have to be in the meeting for all 16, 17 head coaches that you interviewed for. But I don't know what makes this whole thing work for Woody Johnson. Like, I don't know why they see it this way. Vrabel, another big-time head coach, sure. But a rookie head coach gets to pick the GM. I do like the idea that they are sort of tied. They work together, and you can make that, you know, connection, and so it feels less dysfunctional on some level that it's kind of, I want the coach, and let's pick a GM that works best with them. ultimately they, if your point is they work best together, or they know each other, and it's the handpicked guy, and all right, now they're a tag team, and they're connected at the hip, but I find it hard to understand. Like, so I'm getting pushback on Twitter a little bit of the idea that Woody Johnson's better at this than we think. Woody was involved, this is from Chris Gabe on Twitter. Woody was involved in hiring four head coaches. All four won at least 10 games in a season, and three made the playoffs. I didn't seem too upset when Dable was a bad coordinator outside of the last two seasons with Josh Allen. And then he gives me all the Super Bowl winners that were defensive coaches over the last handful of years. Belichick, Gruden was an offensive coordinator, but that team won with defense. Dungy, Coughlin was never, well, I'm just giving you all the stuff I'm giving you. Coughlin was an offensive coach, but never an offensive coordinator, and they won with defense. Harbaugh, special teams. Carroll, defensive coordinator. Kubiak, offensive coach, but won with defense. Okay.
An offensive head coach that won maybe because his defense was good and he trusted his defensive coordinator dispute this guy's point to you?
I agree, yes. I mean, but the idea that you don't need, if you're going to hire defense, I guess defensive head coaches have won some of them. And then even the offensive head coaches, it's not because, oh, they were so great offensively. I guess that's his point. But as I look through that list, one, yes, a number of them are all offensive coordinators. And here's the other thing about that list. 90% of the names are 20 years ago, and they're all not first-time head coaches. And trying to tell me that Woody Johnson is good at this because, like, Rex Ryan made the playoffs. And Herm Edwards made the playoffs. And Man Genius made the playoffs 1 year. Like, they all failed. And that's 15 years ago. And I know he didn't hire Adam Gase. But he hired Todd Bowles. He hired Robert Saleh.
Using the playoffs as an example for the team that has the longest playoff drought in America is also an incredible cell phone by whoever sent this to you.
It certainly is. It certainly is. I don't understand. Again, if you don't think this is a criteria for not hiring a coach, if you don't think, hey, I wanted an offensive guy because that's the trend of the NBA. As I'm watching the Knicks highlights. I think that's the trend of the NFL, and I don't want a new head coach, particularly with the Jets. I don't want a first-time head coach, particularly with the Jets. And overall, I'd prefer an offensive head coach because that's the trend of the NFL right now. If you don't think those two things are good enough of a reason to say, I don't want Glenn, please tell me what inspires you about this hire? Because they need an inspiring hire. They're in the middle of the longest playoff drought in professional sports. They're not just the laughingstock of the NFL. They are the laughingstock of professional sports. And to boot, not even just the losing, the reports that come out about the owner and how dysfunctional everything is there. And his decision, all the stories about Madden and his kids running the show, firing the head coach week five, which tore apart the team. Going to his defensive coordinator in Ulbrich, and the defense fell apart, and the head coaching got worse, and the team got worse. Like, what about this hire inspires you other than he played for the Jets? Honestly, you got to tell me what you like about it. You can poo-poo all the reasons I don't like it, but I'm giving you reasons. You like the way he talks? Like, again, he might be a great head coach. And in 2 years, I'll look back and go, wow, none of those things mattered, and he's a great head coach. But it just feels like he's working, it's a tough spot to come into in this situation. And I really don't understand why he gets to pick a GM. And I, again, I'm not intimately familiar with Lance Newmark. I don't know his involvement in Washington this year, who obviously there was a roster turnover, but you know, I've been arguing with people with this for like the last two days or so since the playoff games over the weekend. Like, I'm sorry. Did they get a new owner? Yes, this is new year one. Did they get a new head coach? Yes, they did. Did Cliff Kingsbury do an excellent job as offensive coordinator? Absolutely. The Washington Commanders are where they are because they drafted Jaden Daniels. That's it. That's it. That's the reason. There's factors surrounding it. But you could take off any one of those things. You could have brought in a different head coach, maybe not Kingsbury because it's hard to tell with Kingsbury, but like other than Kingsbury, you could have probably brought in a different head coach. You probably could have brought in a completely different set of rosters players that overhauled the roster, and this kid was going to win. Like, I firmly believe that. He's the reason for the change. So I don't know Lance Newmark's job and how much he was impacting this year's Washington team or the last few years of Detroit, but I can tell you he's been with Detroit since 1999, and they haven't been that good. In fact, they've been at the bottom of the league as far as, you know, run franchises go. I mean, how many failed wide receivers at the top of the draft did they pick in a row? It's a tough sell that he's the guy because Aaron Glenn's the head coach. And that's what it feels like. It feels like Lance Newmark is the guy because Aaron Glenn is the guy. And whatever you want to say about Aaron Glenn and how good you think he could be and everything he's done in his career, and I appreciate it. He was a player, and he didn't take any shortcuts. He went right to work as a scout and a quality control coach, and up and up and up the ladder he went. He has earned every bit of this. This is not necessarily about him particularly. He has earned the right to be a head coach in the NFL. He is worthy of being a head coach in the NFL. It's almost the same thing as Barkley. Like, we knew I didn't want Barkley drafted second, not because Barkley wasn't a talented enough player or everything that Dave Gettleman said he was. Dave Gettleman called him, you know, touched by the hand of God, destined for a gold jacket. Those things aren't wrong. But he still wasn't the right pick at number two because the Giants weren't ready to utilize that. The Giants weren't in a position to make that come to fruition. Aaron Glenn might be a great head coach. Aaron Glenn, under the right circumstance, might be able to lead a team forward. The Jets are in a situation that make it very difficult for a rookie head coach, and we've seen it before. We've seen this exact hire. So I just don't. I don't know what's to love about it, other than he was a Jet, and I believe him to be a leader of men. And we'll find out if he is. But, I mean, there's nothing in his resume that jumps out at you as the must hire. There's nothing in his resume or standings that get him to be the reason why you hire the GM to run your franchise. And there's nothing as a defensive coordinator in today's NFL that leads you to believe that's the best way to go about winning. You can throw all the 20 last years in my face. Go ahead. It's about offense. And again, this team, we know. I think you absolutely should bring back Rodgers. I've been saying that. I think this is even more so. Right? I mean, well, maybe not, because I even with an experienced head coach, I wanted Aaron Rodgers back any which way. It didn't matter to me. I think bringing back Aaron Rodgers is the best case scenario for the New York Jets. And with a rookie head coach, you want to throw in, you know, I guess Aaron Rodgers brings expectations where a lesser veteran or drafting a quarterback would bring less expectation, but You've got a 15-year playoff drought staring you in the face, and you've got a good roster right now. And if I don't want to trust this roster, you start to get to decisions about paying people and moving forward with Lance Newmark as your GM, and I hope that goes right. I just think there's too many question marks to not bring in someone who's done it before, right? And to think, like, and I know Woody doesn't think this way, and Woody's the one making decisions, but Mike McCarthy is a proven winner. Mike McCarthy has worked with Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy just got done coaching for Jerry Jones. I mean, and the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, he is so much more the safe pick. Someone who's dealt with all the different parameters we're talking about. Offensive coach, coached in multiple spots, won a Super Bowl, coached with Aaron Rodgers, and has worked in a, maybe not, you know, the Dallas isn't the same kind of market as the New York market, but, I mean, that is the most valuable team in the sport. It's the most, you know, prolific team in the sport, arguably. Not recently, but you know what I'm saying. It's America's team. And it's got an owner who runs the show and causes a bit of controversy from time to time. Like, he literally has dealt with everything the Jets provide. And they don't want to talk to him. They want to hire a first-time defensive head coach. And then allow that guy to pick the GM. Or at least you pick the GM because you think it's the best fit for the coach. Everything is revolving around a first-time coach who's been a one-time defensive coordinator. Because he played for the Jets, and he's probably good in these interviews. And I hope he is. I hope he's a great coach because I want to see the Jets turn this around. And I would bring back Aaron Rodgers, and I would try and win this year. I would try and win this year. And see what happens moving forward. He's the best option. Draft a quarterback in the second or third round. Let whoever your offensive coordinator it is, whether it's, you know, Kubiak or anybody else, let them come in and work with a little bit of a project quarterback, no later than the second round, because I want to show actual belief in him, as opposed to a flyer on a third or fourth round. Draft Dart in the second round. Or trade back and draft a quarterback in the back end of the first round. Go about trying to win this year while you develop a young quarterback under Aaron Rodgers. And then next year starts the rebuild process with a new young quarterback. That sounds a hell of a lot more appealing than thrusting that on top of everything else for this rookie head coach.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:54, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We're going to have a little fun because we got a guy on who's hit me up on Twitter, and he's engaging with the show, so we're going to engage with him. And I don't know if we found the Woody Johnson burner or the one Jet fan who honestly believes in Woody Johnson. Because I told you, Chris Gabe on Twitter. Woody Johnson involved in firing four head coaches. All four won at least 10 games in a season, and three made the playoffs. Okay. Then he said, here's the latest tweet. Woody didn't hire Saleh, was still in England. Well, let me just say this. While that is somewhat true, when Robert Saleh was being interviewed, former President Biden was already president-elect. And Woody Johnson was aware he was not going to keep his position in England. And when the draft came in April, Woody Johnson was in the building and talked to Zach Wilson. I find it hard to believe that they were interviewing coaches after Donald Trump lost the election to President Biden, after President Trump lost the election to President Biden, I have a tough time
That's
thinking.
Tough because they're both technically a former at one point,
yeah,
but now Trump is President Trump again.
Yeah, I know. That's why I specified President Trump. I said Donald Trump, President Trump. But after former and current President Trump lost to former President Biden, I find it hard to believe Woody Johnson, knowing he was returning and was in the building in April for a draft pick conversation with Zach Wilson, I find it hard to believe that during the process of hiring a head coach, he had nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. I find that hard to believe. I believe Woody Johnson had a lot to do with the hiring of Robert Saleh. So that's the first thing. The Jets never had back-to-back losing seasons under him prior to leaving for England, and when he came back, they built what everybody thought was a contender. Okay. Yes, they never had back-to-back losing seasons, I suppose, right? If you include...
Yeah, because there's a bunch of 500 seasons in there.
There's a bunch of 500 seasons in there. One, yes, they built... myself included, I thought they were a contender for the Super Bowl, and then the owner did everything he could to ruin it. And he hired a GM that I think was probably one of the better GMs the franchise has had in forever. Christopher hired Christopher Douglas. Right, so Christopher hired one of the better general managers in the team's recent history for sure. And then Woody Johnson did everything to completely strip him of every ounce of power and even just, you know, good feelings and vibes. I mean, the guy was, by the end of it, a shriveled up, like, he was just like, I'm here to serve at the pleasure of the owner. Like, he was so happy to leave, and then you get all the reports. He's nixing trades. He's, you know, super involved in ruining the contender. Nixing extensions. Making decisions based on his children's opinion. Firing the head coach mid-year. Firing the GM and not getting... It's a hard... It's still the longest, I mean, playoff drought in history. Oh, I'm sorry, currently.
In a league, a sport where parity dominates.
In a sport where parity dominates, and it's built with the cap to have teams turn around and the draft, teams to turn around quickly. And then if you want to talk about just... You know, defensive coaches, because he's big on, well, McDermott's a one-year defensive head coach. Okay, a first-time defensive head coach. Okay, great. He's the one who's built a contender. Still hasn't won the big game, but built a contender. The New York Jets, and Fliegelman just gave me this, the New York Jets have gone the last 25 years, and in those 25 years, they have one season, one, where they are top 10 in points scored. The Brett Favre year. That's it. In 25 years, the New York Jets have one season where they are top 10 in scoring. And how has that worked for them? Like, they keep going back to the same stuff. It's another first-time defensive coordinator and a first-time GM. Try something different. Hire an experienced coach. And please don't give me how good Woody Johnson's been. I mean, that's a real tough sell. That is a real tough sell. They are in the last 25 years, one of the worst franchises in the sport. And since the Rex years and since they fired Mike Tannenbaum, I don't know if anyone's lost more games than the New York Jets. And that's not recent. It's a long time ago now. And he built what everybody thought was a contender. He doesn't get points for us being wrong. That's not how it works. Robert Saleh got fired. I mean, Joe Douglas built the team that we all thought was a contender. He got fired. Did he get fired or did he get a promotion? Because, hey, all the pundits thought that it was a good team. So it doesn't matter that it wasn't. Doesn't matter that it fell apart. Everybody thought it was going to be good. McMonagle was yelling about it at 3 a.m. constantly. Like that, you don't get credit for what other people thought. You can try, and that's what he did at the end of the season in a very, you know, kind of Donald Trumpish sort of, a lot of people were talking about, a lot of people were saying we were going to be good. A lot of people. Doesn't matter what a lot of people say. The organization's been a disaster, and he's been leading it. And again, we'll find out if we have a legitimate head coach on our hands, but we are going down the same path. And again, if first time and defense isn't enough for you, tell me what, not enough of a reason to say I don't like it. Tell me the reasons you do like it. And tell me the reason why this first time defensive head coach, as talented as he may be, as worthy as he is of a head coaching job, why does he get to be the head coach of the New York Jets? And then why does he get to be the coach that you pick the general manager around? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like they desperately want Glenn, and now they're going to hire Lance Newmark because that makes the most sense. Either it's the handpick. It's either the handpicked GM of Glenn, or it's the guy that makes the most sense if you're going to hire Aaron Glenn. Because you can't tell me Lance Newmark is by far the best of the 17 guys that they looked at.
So it's so funny that 17 isn't hyperbole.
No,
because it sounds like it.
It does, right? It sounds like when I say they lost by 100, or you know. Yes, it does. It sounds like hyperbole. It's not. They interviewed 17 head coaching candidates, 16, I think, or 16 or 17 general manager candidates, and they are picking a first time, if they do pick them, or they have picked them, whether or not they get a contract done. At least that's the reporting. But they are going with a first time defensive coordinator head coach, and not only that, because they want him so badly, they're either letting him pick the GM or they're picking the GM that makes the most sense if they want to go with Glenn. So, all right, you don't think first time is enough of a reason? You don't think defense is enough? Tell me why all of that deserves to be the way it is. Tell me what's so inspiring with this hire that the head coach gets to pick the GM and that a first-time defensive head coach makes you real excited looking forward to the season next year. Explain it to me.